This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, Motion Church? Hey, we are so glad that you guys are here with us this morning. You joined us for the best hour of your week. Shelly is really excited to be here this morning. Like, I felt that. That was good. So if you guys don't know, we I always say we, like I did anything. And Shelly had a baby last week, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, 10 days. 10 days ago. And she's already back at church. Like, it's a bell of honor that she wears. Loves it. So anyway, we started a new series last week called Subscriptions. We're actually going to put that thing on pause for a week. Because I've got a buddy from he's from everywhere. He's a man of the world. Jeremy, come on up real quick. So I don't know how you do this. This is the only person I know that's on staff at more than one church. Like, legitimately, I'm not making this up. He's on staff at a church in Dallas, but he's also on staff at a church in Cleveland. This is what I love. I met Jeremy at a youth camp. We went to YFN? Yeah, YFN camp probably 4 or 5 years ago. And you know what happens at conferences and camps, and like preachers try to do like a preach off. Everybody's trying to like outdo each other and show off and all that stuff. And Jeremy was not like that at all. Like, it was all about Jesus, and I was just absolutely in love with this guy. So we hit it off. I invited him to Motion about 5 years ago, 4 years ago, something like that. Time just flies by. And anyway, so Jeremy Donham is going to share with us this morning, and I'm so thankful for him.
I don't know whose iPad this is, but it's about to be mine. The iPad, I'm just kidding. Good morning. Pastor Chris said he didn't do a thing. I think he did something, right? Yeah. He said she had a baby. I didn't do a thing. I'm like, well, I mean, come on. Those are good pastors, though, right? They're dedicated to growing the church, even having babies at 40, like, it's unbelievable. My last baby was at 35. I had my last son at 35, and I feel old. He's 7 now, and I'm like, bro, you're going to have to learn how to tie your own shoes. I can't. My back can't handle getting down there to bend. My wife the other day was like, you taught all the other kids how to ride their bike. He doesn't know how to ride a bike yet. And I'm like, I can't be running after a bike. Like, he's going to have to figure it out. But, yeah, it's an honor to be back at Motion. You guys are family, and you know, I think I've been here at least twice a year for the last few years, and it's always fun coming, seeing everybody. I've gotten to know so many different people, and like I said, it's just, I feel like I'm at home here, and I love it. I'm actually am at two churches now. I'm working at a church in Dallas, overseeing their outreach program, and then, believe it or not, yeah, I go up and get cold in Cleveland, Ohio once or twice a month, and so with all that travel back and forth between the churches and the season I'm in of just kind of coaching young pastors and that sort of thing, I haven't been traveling as much. I mean, I've been traveling more, but I haven't been traveling and guest speaking as much. I was telling somebody this morning, my daughter graduates next year, and I'm emotional. I don't want to leave because she's leaving me, and it's just hard and it's sad. And some dad needs to write a book about how to deal with your emotions as your daughter. My sons, I'm like, whatever, get out. And they're like 13. But, I mean, 13 and 7. But my daughter, man, I'm just like, no. She had to have a talk with me the other day. I had a talk from my daughter. She sat me down and was like, Dad, I'm not 8 years old. Quit treating me that way. And I'm like, you are in my head. Stay home. Anyway, so with that being said, I don't travel as much, but I do... feel like, you know, I just want to keep going to where family is, and so this is one of those places. I don't think I've ever turned you down to come speak. I'm like, yep, I'm on my way. Let's get some, I don't know about the nachos anymore. I don't want to call them out, but, you know, we'll find something else. But I just love coming here. I love Longview, actually, too. It is just a good little town. I'm in Dallas, so I feel like I come out here and get away from the hustle and the bustle, so I'm a city kid. Like, we just moved to a place called Midlothian. Anybody know where Midlothian is? And I'm like, I'm in the country. And my wife's like, no, you're not. I'm like, I need to get some cowboy boots or something. She's like, you live in suburbia, stupid. Mark chapter 5. If I was to title my sermon today, it would be, I Still Believe. I Still Believe. I want to talk about the woman with the issue of blood. It's a very famous story, but I want to kind of dive into it a little differently, maybe. At least in my head, it was different. It was kind of revelation for me the last few months. And I want to talk about I Still Believe. So let's read it. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 is where we're going to start. Mark chapter 5, verse 25. We'll start up in 24 a little bit. But a large crowd followed and pressed against Jesus, and a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had been bleeding for 12 years. She suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. She had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt her body, that she had been freed from her suffering. She felt in her body that she had been freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that the power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" His disciples thought he was crazy. He said, "You have people all around you." His disciples answered, "And yet you can ask, who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Your faith has healed you." Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for this amazing church. God, I just pray that as we dive into your word for a few moments, that you'll speak to us, Jesus. God, I thank you for who you are, and I thank you that you are a God that still cares about the suffering. And Lord, I thank you for that, Jesus. In your name, amen. I Still Believe. There's a young man. He grew up in Chicago. He grew up in Chicago, and he had a tough life. He actually was in an elementary school when he was a young man, and there was a fire in his elementary school, and 70% of the students died in the fire. So he lost 70% of his friends when he was in about fifth grade. As he grew, he began to find healing. He got really depressed. I mean, it's a depressing thing to be a fifth grader and lose most of your friends. He began to find healing in music, something I'm not good at. But he found healing in music, and he began to play music and decided he wanted to make music his dream. He decided, if I can heal from music, I want to help others heal. I want to become a musician. And so he moved to L.A., and nobody cared that he was there. Like many people that move to L.A., right? And nobody cared that was there. And he just did not find any success as a musician. In fact, it became so bad that he became homeless on the streets of L.A., and he was wandering around just trying to figure out what in the world he was doing with his life, and he called his father one day. He called his father, and he said, "Dad, I give up. Life's too hard. I don't want to deal with it anymore." And his dad said these words, "Son, don't you ever stop believing or you'll be done. Don't stop believing or you'll be done." A few months later, he ran into some guys on the street that were in a band. He joined the band. He became their keyboardist. And they wrote a very famous song called "Don't Stop Believing." If you're a Journey fan, you're rocking out in your head right now. Jonathan Cain is the keyboardist for Journey, and that's his life story. And he wrote that song, Don't Stop Believing, off of his father's words from when he was homeless. Strangely, unlike many songs, you really don't get to the meaning of the song till the end. It's this huge buildup of just stories of pain and suffering. And then, I don't know about you, I've heard the song I every road trip, bro. Like, I just rock that song out every road trip, I think. But, you know, still to this day, I've heard it hundreds of times, and I'm still, like, waiting for it to kick in. Anybody else? You, like, if you know Journey, like, you're like, you start singing, you're like, oh, not yet, not yet. Oh, not yet. It, like, builds towards it, and then you just, you know, and it comes at the end. And I think that's often a lot of our lives is like, you're just going through hard times. You're like, what in the world? What's going on? And then you're like, oh, wait. Oh, no. Oh, wait. Oh, you know, and I have to begin to look and think, man, I can't stop believing or I'll be done. I can't stop believing or I'll be done. Circumstances don't dictate who God is. And a lot of times we allow circumstances in our life to become the judgment of who God is. And we can shift our entire belief system over a problem when the promise is still there saying, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. I mean, we're looking at this woman with the issue of blood, and it was 12 years. 12 years, guys, where she was like, I need an answer. I need an answer. And she's bleeding. She's in pain. And she's literally, you know, blood is a life giver. Like, if you don't have blood, you kind of lose your life, right? Like, that's, it's a life giver. Blood is a life giver. And she was literally draining life out of her body. She was draining life out of her body. And I came here to talk to some people that maybe you feel a little drained out of your life. I came here to talk to some people that life has just been draining you. You've been losing life. I don't know. Maybe it's church hurt. Maybe it's marriage problems. Maybe it's your children. Maybe it's your boss at work. I don't know what it is. But a lot of times we can walk through life and we can allow it to drain us so much that we just become half dead. Have you gone through seasons where you're like, man, what am I doing? I'm kind of in that season. I found out 2 weeks ago how old I actually am. I know that sounds weird. I did a lot of drugs as a kid. But it's still messing with my head. I know it sounds weird, but I got in an argument with my wife. I was like, I am 43 years old. And she's like, no, you're not. You're 44. And I'm like, no, I'm 43, bro. Quit making me. Oh, I call her bro when I'm mad at her. Just to. I'm 43, bro. She's like, no, you're not. You're 44. And she breaks out my birth certificate. Guys, about 3 weeks ago, I lost a whole year. I lost a whole year. And I walked around like, I am 44. I'm next year, like in September, I'm halfway to 50. And I started to think, even in ministry and all the things that I do, man, there's things in my life that just drain life from me, that I've allowed to affect me, that I've allowed to impact me. I've allowed hurt and pain and church people and life and situations to really impact my relationship with God. I allow these things around me to impact my relationship with God, and I begin to drain more and more life. This is what this lady, she's losing life. And then it says she went to doctors and spent all of her money. This is a crazy thing. Not only is she being drained from life, the people she trusted the most let her down. She gave all of her money to these people. She's like, I trust you to make me better, and she got worse. Oh, come on, somebody. Anybody been there where the people you trust the most are the ones that hurt you the most? Where you're like, man, I put my whole life into you. I trusted you. I believed in you. I thought you cared about me. And you just threw me to the streets. I've had people in my life that I thought we were family, and they don't even know I'm alive, I don't think, some people. And what if I would have allowed that to impact my relationship with Jesus? What if, let's be real, I did. It's crazy to me that, especially when you have people you trust and they let you down, when they're leaders in your life or whatever it may be, and they let you down, their imperfection you begin to project onto a perfect God. And you're like, man, this leader in my life let me down. Jesus, when are you going to let me down? I've been in moments singing the song, you're never gonna let, you're never gonna let me down. You know that song? And I'm like, I remember singing that song, and I couldn't sing it. I've been in rooms where they're singing it. Yeah. And I'm like, nah, he did. I projected stuff onto Jesus. No, he did let me down. That's how I felt. But in all reality, when I can keep pressing towards him, that's a lie from the devil. Jesus never let me down. And anytime somebody else lets me down, if I just focus on him, it gets better. Life gets better. Life gets stronger. It's like focusing on him changes everything. She was let down by everyone around her. She was let down by everyone around her. And she heard Jesus was coming. She heard. Can I tell you something? This is so important to me. She heard Jesus was coming. You know, you got to be careful what you hear. Because she heard a lot of other things. You know, the law back then, because she was bleeding, she was unclean, she heard that she wasn't allowed to be around people. You know, she wasn't allowed to be in the vicinity of anybody else because she was considered unclean. She heard all of these different things. But the thing that she allowed to soak into her was, oh, Jesus is coming. She didn't listen to anything else. She, oh, Jesus is coming. We hear so much, don't we? Come on, somebody. I mean, you can, listen, I know in the church world, we like to go over the big hot topics in the news, right? Like, oh, that's bad, blah, 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 blah. But we tend to ignore gossip and other things. Don't want to call ourselves out. And you can hear so much about people, about things, about leaders, about life, and you got to be careful what you hear. You got to be careful what you hear. And can I encourage you this morning, when people tell you that Jesus isn't real and all these different things on the websites that you can read, and you know, everything on Google is true. Abraham Lincoln was quoted saying it. And you start to see all these people, deconstruction's a big thing right now, all of this stuff. And hey, I'm not bashing anybody's journey. I'm just telling you, be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you hear. There's so many Christians on this planet today, the only faith they have is through internet preachers. The only Bible knowledge they have is through watching shorts on TikTok. How do you be careful what you hear? Don't trust a thing I'm saying. Go get your Bible. Dive into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, be careful what you hear. I don't know if that's... Let me look here and make sure. She knew what she was hearing, and she heard Jesus was coming. Man, when in my hardest times, I got to be careful what I hear, because there's people who be like, You ever have that one friend that, like, I'm like, man, I'm in a really bad season, and they're like, yeah, yeah, you are. Wouldn't want to be you right now. You know what I mean? Like, oh my goodness. And it just makes you feel worse. But I know no matter the storm, when I focus on Jesus. It's funny, especially as men, we try to fix the storm. You know, I live in Texas now. I'm not a Texan. I try to claim it. I grew up in Philadelphia, though. And I am an Eagles fan. I heard the, I am an Eagles fan. So I'm glad you guys got to watch us in the Super Bowl. But storms come through Texas, and they are crazy, right? Can you be can you imagine, like, being outside trying to fix it? Like, think about it. That's what we do spiritually. That's what we do spiritually. We're standing outside like, nope, I'm going to catch all this hail before it hits my car. That's what we do spiritually. Can you imagine trying to fix it? I'll never forget the first, my mom and dad, they're from Philadelphia, but they moved to Alaska and then they moved here. And the first storm was coming. They'd never been in a Texas storm before. And my dad had just bought his new truck, you know, and he was just, you know, he's a typical old guy with his truck. And, you know, and so I go outside and he had bought mattresses. And started strapping them to the top of his car. I'm like, Dad, you look like a tourist. This is embarrassing. Like just mattresses strapped to the side. Like, my mom's out there holding it up against the door, and he's strapping it around. And I'm like, what are you doing? And that's how foolish we look sometimes when we're trying to fix. You can't fix a storm, but you can focus on Jesus in the storm. And I'm telling you, when I've done that, when I've just stopped and went, okay, no matter the circumstance, no matter how much seems to be falling apart, if I just focus on him, she said, if I could just get to him, if I could just touch his clothes. I'm going to mess some of y'all up today, because this is the interesting thing about this story to me. She's in this pain. Everybody's let her down. Everything's going falling apart. Number one, she breaks society's rules. She's a rule breaker. She wasn't supposed to go in the crowd. And it said it was so tight, the crowd was so big, that Jesus was literally almost getting crushed. So she had to push through a lot of people to get to Jesus. She had to break a lot of rules to get to Jesus. And the other thing she did, which is very interesting to me, because in this day and age, as the church people, we're like, just wait on Jesus. He's coming. Just wait on Jesus. Some people still waiting. Some people out there just waiting on Jesus. I have one friend, he's like, man, I'm just waiting on Jesus for a job. But I'm like, I don't know, maybe you should apply somewhere. Right? No, Jesus is going to give me one. No, nobody knows you're looking, man. Nobody knows. You're just sitting at home playing video games, bro. Like, come on. Just wait on Jesus. She devises a plan. She's in so much pain, so much hurt, that she devises a plan to get to Jesus. Here's what I've begun to learn in my life. If you really don't want to lose your faith, if you really want Jesus in your life, there are going to be hard moments. There are going to be painful moments in your life where you can forget about him because of the pain. She could have sat there and said, no, it's too hard to move. No, they'll judge me. That's against what we should do. Shouldn't act that way. Don't act that way in church, bull. Shouldn't act that way. Don't be that way. I'm too tired. I'm too worn out. Jesus is going to have to find me. You can forget about Jesus sometimes. There's been moments in my life where the pain is so intense that the last thing I'm thinking about is Jesus. I'm just going to be real. And here's the interesting thing about pain. Psychologists actually say that intense, severe pain is felt the same way in humans, no matter the circumstance. So you can stop saying, well, some people have it harder than me. No, if you're feeling intense pain, you're feeling it the same way as somebody else, no matter the circumstance. So don't discount your pain. We tend to discount our pain. But we can forget about Jesus in our pain, but she devised a plan. And here's what I've learned about my pain, about my hard situations, about those moments where I'm bleeding and life is just feeling drained and pulled out of me. There's often times where I have to stop and devise a plan to get to Jesus. Well, Jesus is everywhere, yeah, but sometimes I really want to ignore him. Maybe I'm the only one in the room, but there's been times in my life I've been so mad at everybody, I added him to it. And that's what I'm saying. And I came here to talk to some people, but that maybe you're in so much pain, you've added Jesus to it. And maybe you can sit here and wait. Jesus can do anything. But it's not wrong if you devise a plan to get to Jesus. Well, how do I devise a plan, Pastor? I don't know. It's your plan. But figure it out. My plan was, I got to talk to some friends and tell them how I feel. I've got to intentionally read the Bible for a few weeks. I've got to get rid of social media. I've got to spend more time with my family because they bring joy in life to me. I know it sounds weird, but just do something you like sometimes when you're in pain. Go golfing. I don't know. I don't like that, but some people do. The weirdest sport to me. But devise a plan. And I just want to say, I'm sorry that people have let you down. Life has let you down. Family has let you down. People that vote differently than you let you down. And there's so much can let you down. Let's be real. But don't allow that. If I could be like Jonathan Cain's dad, don't stop believing or you'll be done. Don't stop believing. Don't stop pressing. Don't stop pushing. Don't give up. Don't stop believing or you'll be done. You can get through anything, but don't stop believing or you'll be done. This is where the keyboard could help me sound more holy. Baby shark. Hey, you never know. Can you play that in a way that it sounds like worshipy? Wow. Let me try. Hang on. Keep going. Don't stop believing. You'll be done. I like it. Some of you might be offended right now. I'm not into an emotional church. I'm into a Jesus church. I don't need you to be emotional this morning. I just need you to know who can be the answer to your storm. I just need you to know who can be the answer. Are you still playing Baby Shark? Okay, I didn't think so. Can you focus on Jesus? Can you devise a plan to get to Jesus? Can you not stop believing? I run into too many people through my years that they stop believing, and they're depressed, they're lost, they can't find their way. The only answer I know, and I've tried everything. I've tried a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm half falling apart because of all the drugs and things I tried. I woke up the other day, and I thought I broke my elbow. I went to the doctor. He said, "What'd you do?" I said, "I woke up." I wish I had a better story. But Jesus, He's taken me through so much. People are like, why are you so passionate about Him? Because I know where I came from. You probably wouldn't believe where I came from, but I know where I came from. And people are like, "Wow, you're a successful pastor, successful businessman, you're this, you're that." And how'd you do it? I don't know. I don't know. Jesus. I just kept pressing towards Jesus. People try to kick me, I get up. I press towards Jesus. I don't go after them. I go after Jesus. Life tries to kick me, go after Jesus. People let me down, I go after Jesus. My kids start acting up, I yell a minute, and then I go after Jesus. Would you stand with me? If you could bow your heads, I really believe that this lesson for us is this. The worst thing you could do in life is just sometimes do nothing. And I just feel like maybe there's some of you in this room that spiritually you've just been kind of, I don't know, living that TikTok spiritual life where it's like, "Oh, Furtick said a good thing that inspired me today." And I just want to encourage you for a moment. If you're in this room and you've just been kind of allowing pain to overtake your life, if you've allowed the thing, maybe you've spent all your money and everybody that you've trusted has let you down and all of these things, and you're just losing life right now. Life is draining. Can I encourage you this week to devise a plan? Don't wait on Jesus. Push through the crowd. Maybe look a little silly to society. Maybe break some rules. But get to Jesus this week. And if that's you, with every head bowed, even if you're not religious, this isn't about religion. It's just to respect those around you. But with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you just raise your hand, I just want to pray for you. I'm not going to call you forward. Anything like that. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. I see you. Anybody else, you're like, "Yeah, Pastor, I need to devise a plan." I see you. Thank you. "I need to devise a plan. I'm hurting." I see you. I see you. I see you. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're in this room and you're like, "Pastor, I've never tried Jesus, but after hearing you talk, I want to. I want to give Jesus a chance. I want to ask Him to be in my life." Would you raise your hand? I just want to pray for you as well. I see you. I see you. Thank you, Jesus. Heavenly Father, I thank you for those that raise their hands that have never tried you before. And Jesus, we just, together, we say, forgive us of our sins. Cover us with your blood. Protect us, Jesus. Come into our lives. God, help us to not just say a prayer, but change us. Change us. Make us different. And then, God, I pray for those that have been living for Jesus, but life is just draining them, and they raised their hand this morning. Jesus, would you meet them? God, we're pressing through the crowd. Would you heal their hearts, God? Would you stop the bleeding? Would you stop the bleeding? I thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.